Download Snow Crash or one of 80,000 other great audiobooks free when you visit audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow today. From the Fatherland, I'm Mirko Reinhardt.
From Long Beach, California, I'm Joey Naranjo.
From the Roundabout Studios in Livonia, Michigan, I'm Jefferson Ross.
I'm Eric Tritko.
I'm your host, Craigerson, Craigie Cole.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
This is Roundabout.
Welcome to Roundabout, episode 54, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like an expertly trained drug dog, we sniff our way along the border of the internet in search of illegal imports and unsealed pouches of begging strips.
Woof, woof.
During our shift, we'll bust amateur dope smugglers like party balloons and blow the doors off a human trafficking ring. If we're lucky, we may even track down a cohesive, zen-like theme. That and a nationwide narcotics distributor. It's not every day you sniff out a Toyota Paseo packed full of mescaline, quaaludes, gassers, John Hancock, sawdust, poppers, Dutch screwdrivers, lightning dust, and stinky fingers.
Full cavity search.
Exactly. Whatever's left over, well, it's probably popular with the kids these days, too. Got that?
I got that, Craig.
Take it out in post, Ben. Take it out in post. It'll be fine.
All right. Should I mark that then?
Sure, whatever. So here we are, folks, episode 54, Roundabout, your favorite auto podcast. We've got the usual suspects, per usual. To my left, Eric Tritko.
Welcome.
Well, thanks for joining us, Eric.
It's good to be here once again.
Who provided transportation for our special guest, Jeff Ross, joining us live again in studio.
It's the annual Jeff Ross convention.
You were here about a year ago and joined us.
Sure was.
Just
for another EV convention, too, I believe.
Wasn't it a Volt Drive?
No.
Yeah, was it
I thought it was a Volt.
It was the business of plugging in.
Yeah. Going on this week again. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But this week I was in town for something much better.
We'll get to that a little bit later in today's show.
We sure will, Craig.
That's right, Jeff. And joining us over the Skype, we have two fan favorites. We've got Mirko Reinhardt from Germany.
Hello.
Hello. He's broadcasting. We can hear him clear across the Atlantic. That's pretty good, Ben.
He must have nice cables.
Something like that. It's magic.
Apparently.
It's loud and clear, Mirko. And that is the guffaw from our very own Michelle, Joey Naranjo.
Hello, Craigie.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you for joining us over the Skype from the Long Beach. It's always a pleasure to have you. And, of course, to my right in the control, well, not so much room, control end.
Control fold-out table.
Exactly.
Well, it's certainly not a control suite.
Exactly.
No. Nor is it a suite control.
No.
Surrounded by his MacBook Pros. Wow. And his Mackie board. Is that a coincidence? I'm not sure.
It would be better if it didn't have the K in there.
Well,
it was just M-A-C-C-E or something.
Whatever.
Would it be more elegant if Steve and Jonathan waved their magic wand over it?
It'd have one button.
You
and
must
it would
buy me.
You just have like some sort of touch scroll pad,
the
you know?
Wheel.
Four fingers for audio input, three for, you know.
At what point does remembering the touch gestures become more work than just having a hard button? Good question,
just
me.
Just buy me.
So,
take my money, please.
Take my money. Just take it.
Yes,
if
please.
If there's extra, just keep it. I want the iPhone.
Yes, please keep spending money at Apple. The stock's now over $300 a share. My aunt's retirement account is thanking you.
That's great. So Colonel Ben Slanders, getting
Howdy.
The show off the ground. Getting
Howdy, Craig.
Oh, Kentucky born, Texas raised.
That's right.
Ben's new nickname, coined by Mr. Stewart, is Colonel Slanders, given that his last
That's
name is Sanders.
That's been my nickname since we started this show.
Well, close
Coined
enough.
By him, but yes.
The Colonel, Colonel Slanders.
The Colonel.
And, you know, that ties in nicely with this week's theme, which is huckster. Huckster.
Was the Colonel a huckster?
You could say, although, for my parts, we might call him a confidence trickster.
Oh.
I still don't know what huckster means.
Michelle, what is a huckster?
Isn't a huckster sort of like someone who tricks people into
Like a flim-flam artist.
Right. A flim-flam artist, yes.
That's flim-flam, you.
A master of hijinxery.
Hijinxery.
I've been flim-flammed.
So our theme this week is huckster, or confidence trickster. Whichever Ben decides to run with on the post is what it'll be. Maybe we can have
huckster
a vote
is shorter
chat,
to type.
In the chat
Done.
Room. Confidence trickster.
Makes for a huckster URL.
Exactly.
Luke says huckstable. Oh,
we're God. Not talking about sweater. Jell-O.
So we've got a whole lineup of con artist themed stories this week that just that dovetail so beautifully with confidence trickster and huckster. So I shall start us off. We've got a wonderful post on the Autoblog. Penned by Mr. Glucker, no less, about the Fisker Karma EV, which is that beautifully styled, very pricey electric vehicle that that Danish guy Henrik Fisker is working on. And evidently, they're getting close to putting up the configurator online, so you can go to their website and, you know, build your own virtual car that you'll never be able to buy because they're probably never going to make them.
You can build
Hucksters.
It. You can put a deposit on it, but...
Can
you
never can
never
drive
it.
They're going to – they're gonna, Fisker's like Wario.
You're more like
– Give me our money.
My name is Elon.
You're more likely to get a solstice out of that Delaware plan than you are at Karma, right?
And yeah, I think so. So what do you guys think of this Fisker huckster? Is he just taking us all for a ride here or what?
Electric cars are
– Fabulous.
Yep. That's something. Go ahead and mark that, Ben.
Yep, I already did.
I finally did see the ad for that movie, by the way. Still don't know what it's called. But yes, this car will never be driving on an American road.
What about a German Autobahn? Mirko, do you think the Danish are your neighbors to the north? I mean, you guys probably stole Schleswig-Holstein from them, right? At some point.
Yes, exactly.
So, do you think a Fisker's ever going to come to a road near you?
I'm not so sure, because in theory, it's just the more expensive Volt.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's the same principle, only that it's a purely serial hybrid, and the Volt apparently has this parallel transmission too, mm-hmm. as we learned recently.
Scandal. It's a it's like the Volt, but stylish. How about that?
Yes, and about, I don't know, it must be about 3 feet longer.
Yeah, at least.
all the hood. I don't know, I think it looks kind of interesting. It should also be wildly unpractical.
Well, it's supposed to be pretty practical if they ever made it. I mean, it looks good. It's supposed to be fuel efficient and all that good stuff, and it's supposed to be pretty cheap, but...
Like $70,000 or something, which considering a supercar, that's not too
out of... Yeah, a four-person supercar, but yeah, it's just, it's never going to...
You don't think it's ever going to get off the ground, yeah?
I mean,
who's doing the drivetrain for this thing? Is it Quantum?
Eric, do you have any idea who's doing the...
I do not. This is one that I have paid as little attention to as possible, mm-hmm. just because it was a... NotGonnaHappen.com production.
It's like watching Nicole Richie try to act.
But you
also,
know,
there's some press release that they use interior materials like trees they took from lake bottoms.
Oh yeah.
So they only use dead trees and don't have to
cut down
house any living wood.
But if you cut down a tree, it dies.
What about whale skin? Anything about that?
That would be a nice option. I think the Scandinavians are always very open for
the Norwegians, yeah, and the Japanese.
Yep.
But Michelle, you're in the environmental wacko central down there in LA. You think this is gonna get off the ground?
There's a dealership here already.
Go on.
A Fisker one?
How many cars do we have on the lot?
Exactly. I got invited to an event at the dealership. I didn't go to the event because I didn't think there would really be anything there.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful design. I love the shape of that car. I think it's absolutely stunning. But yeah, I don't. It's like, where's poor Aptera? You know,
crap Terra.
Like,
it's
they've all just
terrible.
Very good.
Didn't they flunk out of the X challenge or whatever?
No,
that was?
They won their class actually, but. I actually got to ride in one of those a few weeks ago, which was kind of weird.
What? I mean, they're still pushing forward. And I mean, their initial expected date to begin production was supposed to be this month last year. And they're still not producing,
well, they're
really.
They're not that far behind. They're like roundabout. Just a couple minutes off the mark.
My boss did put down a $1,000 deposit on one, though. So
well. Yep. He just gave his money to a huckster. Making it rain, right? Throwing his bills in the air. All right. So the general consensus here, Fisker, never
not gonna
happen. .org.
Unless like Elon Musk, he goes to Toyota and hucksters them for another $60 million to engineering work.
The well, Fisker Husker. Coming in 2014.
The corn husker.
I just want to know if Toyota had to pay the $60 million by PayPal.
That's a good question. But Mirko, you've got our next huckster story, and I don't know if any of you guys have seen this one yet, but apparently BMW is getting into a little bit of trouble. What's going on, Mirko?
Yes, I think the N54 engine, which is in the 335i, or at least it was until it was replaced by the N55.
The twin power, which is
the,
only a single
turbo. The twin power, which is a single turbo, unlike the N54, which is a twin turbo.
So it's like jumbo shrimp. It's an oxymoron.
Exactly.
Just like
a truck stop shower. It just doesn't
compute. X drive, S drive, 45 million I, or something like that.
Or you were we were talking the other day, and you were going on about some of the Volvo names they have that are just absurd. What was it? The T4,
yes,
the T5.
Because do we want to have this detour? No.
maybe
but,
not.
Apparently there was a story on Autoblog that Volvo is coming out with a new S60 T5, and Autoblog wrote, yeah, that's going to be a new 5-cylinder engine. But apparently Volvo also came out with a V60 T5 in Europe a few weeks ago, and this T5 has a 4-cylinder engine.
Figure that one out.
Damn sweet.
And they also make a D3, which is a 5-cylinder diesel.
It's European math.
Not making sense. It's metric. Come on.
It's lost on the conversion from kroner to euro.
Yeah, maybe. Or it's Chinese math.
It's Washington fuzzy math.
Anyway.
So BMW turbos. What's going on?
Yeah, I was supposed to do that story and not some Volvos. They have problems with their high-pressure fuel pumps, because these engines obviously use a common rail injection system, which includes that type of fuel pump. And apparently for some owners it has happened that the fuel pump fails, the car goes into limp mode, stops accelerating, and
bad
that can safety problem if you are running away from baddies in the Corvette or are in a similar situation. So,
unintended deceleration is what they post.
Exactly. So the reverse Toyota situation.
it makes my soul happy to see BMWs broken down.
Oh, why is that, Jeff?
Mine doesn't break down.
I just, because they're all a-holes, and
Mirko drives a BMW.
I drive
American,
a BMW.
American East Coast BMW drivers.
Not to generalize, not to stereotype.
Well, it's not just American East Coast, because your favorite show has labeled BMW, especially BMW M3 drivers.
Sesame Street said this?
Yes.
The O'Reilly factor.
Right. As the BMW M3 is the ultimate car.
Oh, that's
and
the
market.
It's a European
you
English
You could have said rooster. You could have said rooster.
You mean Cox Cable, right?
Yes, Cox Cable, exactly.
Manny Cockaloo. So Turbo's... Jeff
yes, so toast.
Turbo's
blow.
Turbo's coke up. They coke up. They go...
That's a lovely visual. Yeah, that's something. So class action lawsuit against the Roundel
yeah,
company.
Only the lawyers win with class action lawsuits.
That's the American way.
Litigation.
Yes, I understand it.
Hey, don't say that or I'll sue you.
Well, that's because we still have money left over after our government. Never mind.
Oh,
here we go.
Just kidding.
Bites. Kidding.
How nice are the roads in Michigan? How's your national health care?
Thank God we don't have one.
Good roads?
No, if the roads are indication of how the government would run health care, then I'm glad we don't have it. Thank you.
So what is the problem with the turbos, Mirko? Is it they just a software issue, or is there some sort of mechanical failure that causes them to not blow enough?
I think they tried to circumvent this fuel pump problem by just running less turbo boost, and so they made a software update to run the engine a little bit less hard.
We'll fix it by making it not produce the power we said it was going to have.
Well,
maybe it would produce the power they actually advertised, because they put it rated at 300 horsepower, 300 pound-feet of torque, but as I recall, like, Edmunds dynoed it at, like, 340 or something at at the wheels, more. So, but still.
They must have fixed it, because this is the motor they're putting in the 1M, so...
I'm sure it'll be worked over.
Is it the N54? They are putting the N54 in the 740i2.
Huh.
Well, it's a nice engine. If they can get it to run right.
Yeah.
So. And what is it they give you? If the lawsuit goes through, you get a free oil change or something? That's what you went to get for winning the class action lawsuit?
And the lawyers get like $70 million.
The emission system. To 10 years and 120,000 miles.
Yeah, so basically a free oil change.
Maybe.
Well, on a weirder note, Ben, you have our next story here.
I told you no.
Well, you tell me no every time, but that doesn't stop me.
No
podcast rate.
Ask nicer. Exactly.
Who wrote that? Somebody wrote next to this story. Michelle, because she's a woman.
And because someone...
No, that was not me.
I wrote it because Craig had written Ben because he's a cat owner.
Well, it's true. You don't even need to read this article. What does it say on the line there in the Google Doc, Ben?
Woman cited for having 77 cats and 2 cars. That seems reasonable. It seems perfectly reasonable. People are blowing this way out of hand.
Well, since...
Now, 86, as this
ball.
Other person claims, now that would be a little crazy, but... Yeah.
So, 54-year-old Regina Millard, funny old person's name, and 61-year-old Bertha Ryan, both of Troy,
New
York.
My great-grandmother was named Bertha.
After
so
Bertha,
hold
what
it.
Happened?
Bertha Slanders.
Bertha Nation.
So, Michelle, you own quite a herd of animals. What does yours stack up to this story?
No, not quite. Although, I do have 2 little boxes that they each go in when we go to the vet, and I can stack them up in the back of my car like that. But that's as long as they're in the cars to get to the vet and then to bring them home. And this lady, yeah, she was...
2 women.
These 2 women, and there was a dead cat in one of the trunks of the car.
Yeah, there's bound to be.
Disgusting.
It's natural selection. They all can't make it. You know.
I wonder how many cats were in the trunk alone. I mean, to fit 77 cats in 2 cars, some of them have to be locked up in the trunk, right?
Well, I could fit all 77 in the trunk, but then the extra 9 would have to go in the back seat.
Huh?
They didn't say what kind of car.
No, they didn't.
I was doing the math, by the way.
Doot.
77 plus 9.
But then somebody else says there was 86 in there.
And conflicting reports. We need to get someone in the 4-H on this story, I think. Sick them on the story.
It's all a bunch of hearsay.
It's all a bunch of hucksterism, because who's going to buy these cars that have had 77 cats living in them if they try to sell them in the future?
Well, that's a good question.
Good question, me, right?
The same person who's going to buy the house in Dearborn that had like 83 dogs in it or whatever.
Who's gonna adopt these animals when they've been abused in these cars? Answer me that, Jefferson Ross.
I would adopt them all with Smith and Wesson as my co-adoptioner.
Wow.
These shells, Humane Society approved.
Well, the other article
Remington,
does say that the
Humane
ladies,
Society approved.
Sorry, Michelle. That the ladies 22s. Said they were driving them around to try to find them homes.
Just drop them off overpasses. Here comes a Mack truck.
Do they land on all fours when you throw them off an overpass? And we're going to get an explicit rating for talking about animal abuse.
That's great. Thanks, guys.
Ben is seething with anger right now.
We're sending this month's proceeds to the animal shelter in Livonia, Michigan.
Well, I guarantee you these cats weren't purebreds. So
they weren't $700.
Certainly weren't Maine Coons.
Weren't $700.
That's all you paid?
$600, actually.
He got the runt of the litter.
Well, you don't want
He's
to talk
only
about
huge.
Right. Well, that would be a bargain compared to what we paid for Lola, but
Lola.
See, exactly.
Dogs are worth it, though.
Yeah. Dogs is like buying a human.
Can't last longer.
They're man's best friend. No, cats don't last longer. They just don't die. That's the issue.
Jeff, are you advocating human trafficking now?
I was wondering when someone was going to call me on that.
Bacon strips? Dogs don't know it's not bacon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, conflicting reports, one from CBS News Channel 6 WRGB in Albany, New York. They say there's 86. MSNBC had it pegged at 77. But, you know, I think the article mentioned that there was a litter of kittens was born, so maybe that's where the difference comes in.
And once you get over 10, does it really even matter?
It doesn't even matter. It doesn't.
I don't think so.
But, Eric, keeping the East Coast kind of theme.
Our
Eastern,
East Coast bias.
Eastern portion of the U.S., at least. You've got our next story, and it comes from Philadelphia.
Yes, the city of brotherly love. Not so much.
Gang rape.
Right, because the kind of people who boo Santa Claus.
Well, he had it coming.
Yeah, exactly. So
breaking into people's houses.
In Upper Westmoreland Township, which sounds like a upscale douchebag kind of community.
A what bag? Tea bag?
No, D bag.
Oh. Okay, right.
It could be a fine community. I've only been to Philly once, so I can't really say.
Considering the picture shows BMWs, or is that just my...
No, it actually looks like a BMW dealership lot, but that's a separate issue.
Yeah.
Apparently, 3/4 of the cars that were reported stolen in Upper Westmoreland Township...
Stolen?
Stolen.
That's a division of Holden. It's their sport truck division.
Stolen. Sorry.
Let's play a game. How many words can we mispronounce? I drive a Ford Escape.
I washed my car.
In the zinc?
In the crick?
The crick. So sorry, Eric.
That's all right. So 3/4 of these cars that were reported not where they were left. Allegedly.
Apparently.
Whoa!
Trying to blow up my hearing there.
That was my blood pressure.
Don't push the play button so hard.
3/4 of them had left their cars unlocked. So, the brilliant
fathers of the brotherly love people.
Yes, thank you.
Fathers of state.
Yes, fathers. That's sort of where I was going with that. Decided that it would be a really good idea for the cops to spend their time going around checking cars to see if they were locked, and if they weren't, to leave a $25 fine.
Treat.
Yes, they were fined $25 for not locking your car.
Would they leave the ticket on the car seat?
They should.
That'd be even better.
That would be better.
And rifle through their stuff.
Yeah.
I put your ticket in your glove
stuff,
box.
But instead I gave you a ticket.
So there was
gonna... I did steal from you because here's this baloney ticket.
But according to this MSNBC story, there was such a national uproar that they rescinded it. 3 days later.
Well, it's kind of ridiculous. Who could? If I don't want to lock my car, I'm not going to.
That is sort of the ultimate nanny state kind of thing.
Plus, if somebody wants to get in there, It takes a brick.
But most crimes are crimes of opportunity, Craig.
Potentially. I don't know. I don't study crimes.
Let's go try and unlock that focus in the parking lot.
You've got your tap boots on. Just kick your way through.
Remember, he's from Florida, Craig.
We like the Florida. Florida.
Florida.
Because I read exactly what's written.
We like to steal stuff in Florida.
So Mirko, you guys have a lot of laws over there in Germany.
Yes, more than I could count. But I don't think it's law that you should always lock your car. If you don't want to, maybe your insurance will not pay. Well,
let's think about it. With the Ranger?
It's a theft deterrent system on its own. There's theft from other vehicles.
Right, there's nothing of value in the car, on the car, around the car, the car itself.
It's got a 5 parking lot radius of a parking space radius that it can deter theft in.
Exactly.
So, well, there you go. I'm kind of glad they rescinded this and they didn't spread it. Other communities didn't get the idea to do this, which is a good thing. So, Jefferson Ross, you also have another MSNBC story about from your lovely state,
just an
the
hour
conniver
and a half down
state,
the road,
the dangle state,
Mousetown.
So what?
I don't get it.
Mousetown. It's in Orlando.
No, Tallahassee. Mouse. Are you talking about Green Mile?
No.
Oh.
Orlando, Florida, the home of.
Oh, Mickey Mouse. I thought you were talking about the Green Mile.
How very literary of you.
What?
I don't read.
Say that. Oh, that's right. You didn't know it was a book first.
I didn't.
Ben is guffawing really hard.
I don't read, y'all.
I'm from Florida. So what did these confidence tricksters do
these
down in Daytona Beach?
These hucksters in Florida done stole money.
Pay their sister for favors, if you
know
what
I mean.
There
was a Wings and Waves air show going on in Daytona.
Okay.
And these hucksters decided to charge people to park in a lot. Who wouldn't do that?
It makes sense. You're going to the downtown.
Hey, you want to park in my lot? Give me $10. I'll watch your car for you.
That is capitalism.
But wait, there's more.
Ingenuity.
This isn't my lot. You give me your money, I'm going to run.
And you get your car towed.
I will probably call the cops and say you illegally parked, so your car gets towed. And that's
what happened
in this situation.
Yeah, I got to hand it to you fellow Floridians. Very innovative.
We're very ingenious.
I know. Second to the Cubans that try to float. They try to get to Florida on like a pickup truck or something, floated across the Caribbean. Now that's ingenuity.
But apparently this happened to about dozens of people.
About dozens. Just about dozens.
No, that's all it says. I think it just says dozens, yeah. Right? Oh, no, wait. I don't
dozens
know.
Of other cars that parked in the lot were towed. So there you go. That's brilliant. Although it sucks.
But I was going to relate this story to a personal anecdote I have to share.
Go on.
One time when I was living in Tallahassee, Florida, we were going to a basketball game, and we were all parking in this lot. And Tallahassee is known for their towing profits made.
Bullpucky.
Yes. So we all parked, and there was about 10 of us looking around. We didn't see a no parking sign. We walk away, go to the game, come back. All the cars are gone. There was a dumpster hiding a no parking sign. So the tow truck company must have put it there and
conveniently
moved it after everyone left for the game and then towed all the cars. So, yeah, there's a lot of swindlers in Florida.
Oh, that's a synonym, Ben.
Mark it down.
Mark it. Mark it right there.
Can you spell synonym, Craig?
Synonym. No.
We can't mispronounce Tallahassee.
Who pronounced Tallahassee?
Tallahassee.
You can't. I was trying to think of a way to mispronounce it. There's no way.
That's why you were so quiet.
How can I was
there's
thinking.
Got to be a way.
How can I mispronounce this, y'all?
But not only did the lady lose her money for parking, she also got $125 tow bill, and she had a $20 cab fare to go pick up her car.
That sucks. You got to be careful. People are always out to get you. Right, Eric?
Usually.
Ben, the man is always reaching into your wallet when you're driving.
Oh, you know? Yeah. It's just not fair. It's not fair when you're,
but, you know,
you're doing 90.
You do
and
the crime, you pay the time. Crime, it rhymes. Whatever.
You do the time, you make a rhyme. Something like that.
Michelle Norano, you've got our next story here.
I do.
Michelle Norano.
Norana.
Michelle Norano.
The name is familiar on this article from the author, but it doesn't.
Where is that playing from?
Me.
Oh, okay.
There's a mute button right over there. You're going to want to go ahead and press that.
I clicked something and it autoplayed.
It's called mute.
Yeah, well, it didn't have a mute there.
Do you need, me to sign that for you? Mute. Michelle, what have we got
here? Well, yes. From Mahindra.
Mindra.
Mahindra.
Mohinder.
The M&M Company. Mm-hmm. They are presenting their Bolero attitude.
Ooh, saucy.
And it's this beautiful, I love it. It's such a simple little SUV with, of course, Mahindra's roots were based in the fact that they were originally a Willys Jeep plant, right?
Jeff,
which you
like
can totally, you totally can see that in this truck. I mean, it's kind of funny. Nobody has yet figured out how to make a Jeep not look like a Jeep.
I think it's.
And no one's figured out how to buy a Mahindra.
That's true. But this is a very popular car in India. I guess that the Indian off-roading community loves it. And Salman Khan, who's a famous Bollywood movie star, drives it in.
So famous, we've never heard of him, Michelle.
I know who he is, though, but I love Bollywood.
He was on Anthony Bourdain.
Shut up, Eric!
Quiet, you!
He's gorgeous. So he drives the car, and in the press release it says that the rendering of the character was so strong and rugged and robust that it required a brand that associate with the protagonist and bring out his macho, fearless, outgoing, death-defying, and an attitude of take on anything. But they also said, I guess take on anything is part of its motto, that it conveys yuppie, yet tough and rugged DNA.
Yuppie?
It portrays yes. tacky, awesome. I think. They spelled it wrong.
I love it.
Well, you are a Kia fan. What would Roseanne Barr drive if you were still on TV? Mahindra Bolero attitude. So why is this a huckster story, Michelle?
Well, why is it a huckster story, Craigie?
Because we're never going to be able to buy one. They're just getting our hopes up and then smashing us down. Now, Mirko, do you think these will be offered in Germany?
Probably. I think there's an importer for Mahindra products in Germany and for some other Indian cars.
And do they cancel their orders as soon as they place them?
No, apparently not.
Oh. See, that's what happens in the U.S. The U.S. importer orders some, and then Mahindra cancels that order and says, we're not going to sell them to you.
Yeah, probably they want to sell them through their own Traktor dealer network.
Traktor. Good for running over Trabants. Cats. Well, children too, Eric.
Yeah. I said cats.
Well, whichever.
And my name's Eric.
Jefferson.
Details.
Yeah. You can check out these wild photos.
They're crazy.
So crazy. On the roundaboutshow.com website, just click on the link in the show notes. Right, Eric?
That is correct, Craig.
How else could somebody get to these photos? You're right. They can't. This is the only way. So at this juncture, I think it is logical for us to take a brief commercial interlude. No?
Yes, yes, okay. Yes.
So I want to talk a moment about a little service.
Wait, what's coming up? I need to know that life exists after Audible.
Well, after our brief commercial interlude, we're going to continue our discussion with Jeff Ross of Autotropolis.
Teasing the next segment.
I'm aware of that, Eric Tridko.
Quiet, you.
Who's being a backseat host here. Michelle Naranjo.
He's in front of you, Craig.
Mirko Reinhardt over in Germany. We'll be continuing this discussion. We're getting to our blind spot about something that will not be getting off the ground, just like the karma we were talking about earlier in the show.
There you go.
And we will also be getting to our ever-popular segment, The Price is Correct. So we've got Jefferson Ross in the studio right now. This is his baby. He's going to bring it to full term.
Oh,
we're
going
to do it again. the price is correct. So in the meantime, I want to talk a little bit about audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. I invite you to visit that website. Just go ahead, type it right into your browser right now, and go to the website and check it out. We are offering you a free audiobook, absolutely free to you. Just sign up for the service. You can download just about anything on the store for free as a free trial. They've got nearly, what, Ben, 80,000 titles in the library there?
That's right, Craig.
Something for everybody. They have mysteries, they have fiction, nonfiction, romance novels, even stuff about cars. There's literally something for everyone on the site, and I invite you to check it out. Again, that URL is audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Now, we like to highlight a selection each week, our pick of the week for Audible.
Yeah.
And, Mirko, you've actually got ours this week, a book called Snow Crash by Neil Stephenson.
Yes, I think that's what he's called. Yeah, I listened to it some time ago. I actually listened to the German version of it, but I think the translation shouldn't have altered the story at all. And the story takes place in L.A., but in the future.
Future, Mirko?
Yes,
if you think
that's
about
right.
It right now.
It's about a guy called Hero Protagonist, which is a great name.
That is an awesome name.
the character's name is Hero Protagonist.
Uh-huh.
I like this
exactly.
book.
That guy is a hacker, a sword fighter, and as a day job, a pizza delivery driver for Cosa Nostra.
So this is a fictional novel.
It's non-fiction. In the future, the national governments will have ceased to exist mostly, and in their place there are franchised chain microstates.
Franchised,
exactly, like Mr. Wang's Greater Hong Kong and some weird church states and
Alabama
communist states. And they call these microstates burbclaves.
This is awesome.
And some corporations control most of it, like, for example, the mafia, which is legal in the future.
It's encouraged.
Yeah. They are on career fairs and hire the brightest young people. Anyway, the hero protagonist works for the mafia as a pizza delivery driver. And they have a very customer-oriented policy. If you wait more than 30 minutes for your pizza, then Uncle Enzo, who is the mafia boss, will visit you with his helicopter and apologize for the pizza being late. And then he'll take care of the delivery driver.
He'll be swimming with cement shoes on.
Yeah. About that. So, hero protagonist has to drive pretty fast, which he does usually, but as something has to happen in this book beyond that, naturally something has to go wrong. And hero eventually discovers a phenomenon called snow crash, and I can't tell you all about it, because then you wouldn't need to listen to it. So
find out.
I'll just tell you that one of the characters, who's called Raven, carries a nuclear bomb in his motorcycle sidecar.
Brilliant.
Which is required to detonate in the case of his death. Mm. Which is a safety measure. It actually makes sense if you think about it.
I guess.
And another Texan guy controls the cable networks and controls the internet.
Ed Whitaker?
he's probably modeled after Ed Whitaker. So he actually lives on the USS Enterprise, which he made into his private boat.
Wow. That's some money.
There's a lot of things happening in this book.
It sounds like a funny book.
It's funny, but it's really quite visionary book, because it was written in 92, and some of the plot takes place in the metaverse, which looks exactly like Second Life, and this book is from 92. So,
right.
I think the word avatar used for the virtual representation of yourself in the virtual world was used first in this book.
Actually, so, there were terms used. Avatar was used before that, because I remember reading books in the late 80s about it. So,
reading, Eric?
Reading, yes. Dead Tree Media.
So old. You could have been here reading. The audiobooks are so nice. I was skeptical at first until I tried Audible, but it really is a relaxing way to read. If you don't have time to read, you get a free audiobook. They're great for long commutes. You've got a flight over the Atlantic or something. You've got to conduct business. Throw an audiobook in.
Let's say you have to fly back to Jacksonville. You know, you're flying from Mission to Jacksonville. Bingo. Wow.
That's like a 3-hour flight, maybe.
2 hours.
And just think how many...
You could even listen to The Green Mile, Jeff.
On DVD?
Audio DVD.
That was a book?
You're watching a movie with your ears. Just think of it that way. So, yes, again, Mirko, thank you for your pick. Snow Crash by Neil Stevenson, narrated by Jonathan Davis. Or if you get the German version, you can get it narrated by Detlef Bierstedt, who apparently dubs George Clooney in German movies. I never knew.
Yeah, learn something new every day.
He looks like quite a friendly guy there, you know?
Wait, that guy's voice gets to be George Clooney?
Yeah.
You should see the guy who dubs Johnny Depp.
The lady
because
that
he reads most of the other audiobooks I have listened to lately.
Don't you guys have like the same two people that do all the voiceovers in Germany?
It's like the Simpsons over there.
It seems like
basically
the few TV things I've seen over there. It's like the same person voicing them.
And David Hasselhoff.
Yeah,
drunk,
eating hamburgers on the floor. Right.
The funniest thing is that Arnold Schwarzenegger is dubbed in Germany.
What?
Because nobody could stand his Austrian accent.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Now that's funny.
That's good.
So yeah, again, audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow. Check it out. Sign up. Get your free audiobook today. Do it for us. All right, Ben, roll the sound effect for our blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. And this week we've got a story about, well, something that's not going to get off the ground. Which
Gran Turismo 5?
Oh, snap. No, this comes courtesy of Michelle's website. I mean, of jalopnik.com. I saw this. I was LMAO, guys, totally.
You don't have an A to lose, honey.
I don't have any junk in the trunk.
No.
So, this is literally not going to get off the ground. Story on Jalopnik. There's this guy in West Kenya. He has built an aircraft out of garbage, basically, and it is powered by a Toyota engine. It looks like a plane, a very crude plane, but it looks like an aircraft. However, it is very plainly made out of discarded things, and it weighs 800 kilograms. 800 kilograms!
They're like 10 pounds?
Like 1,700 pounds.
It's 2.2... pounds per kilo.
You know about kilos, don't you, Michelle?
My daughter was 1 kilo when she was born.
No, we were talking about drugs.
I know. I talk about babies, you talk about drugs.
1,763.6981.
See, we were pretty close, Eric.
That's a Honda CRX.
But better looking. Even though it is made out of garbage. Ben, you rolling that video in the chat?
I sure am.
Very good. You can see it is literally made out of garbage. And
this reminds me of the District 9 guys.
I've never seen that movie.
It does. You're absolutely right.
Remember that program, Junkyard Wars? They'd always do these weird, like, challenge things. They would build airplanes sometimes. And amazing. I mean, they'd give them an engine to use and a propeller, but it would work.
This is the great part about this video. Yes. They're trying to roll it out, and the guys are kicking the wheel to keep it up straight.
Because it won't roll.
Oh, it'll be fine.
Don't worry about it. Oh, that's right. And he says, when they're interviewing the guy, he says, we will add a shock absorber to the front end, and it'll make it better. And, dude, the wheel won't even turn. A shock absorber is not going to help you. My house is burning down. Oh, I'm going to put a fresh coat of paint on it. You know, it's like, what? But you guys have to see this video. You can... It is awesome. It looks like a plane. It's never going to fly. He's not an engineer or anything. He has no aeronautical background, but it looks like a plane. It's made out of metal. You know, it looks the part.
Well, if it looks like a plane.
And quacks like a plane.
It must be a pile of shit.
Well, there we go.
So it's awesome, though. It's just going to be a piece of yard art, I think. But
hopefully not in Arizona.
Yes.
Exactly. He is a cacti planter. Michelle, you used to have a pilot's license.
Yeah.
You have some aviation in your blood.
I can't imagine going out in this thing. And I, as I've gotten older, I've gotten more and more frightened of small planes, even though I do know that statistically they're more safe. But, yeah, that thing horrifies me. My brother-in-law built his own airplane, and yeah. Henrietta helped him build it. And... let me tell you, she is not going up in that plane.
Why not?
Because they built it over like 3 or 4 years. And the fact that she started making it when she was like 11 just kind of scares me.
It'll be fine, Michelle. Let's not be prejudiced here.
I'm supportive of her, just not in that. airplane building skills.
If you just follow the instructions, you glue this piece of balsa to another and...
Tab A to tab to notch B.
I made a bookcase once. Yeah.
Really? In wood shop?
No. In my living room. I got it from Home Depot.
I was going to say IKEA.
No.
IKEA. Yeah.
It's a cheap one.
Mm-hmm.
I think IKEA would make a better plane than this.
Who?
I said I think IKEA would make a better plane than this.
Apple would.
Watch out, they will.
Yeah, the problem is that it'll weigh three times as much if it's from IKEA because it's all MDF.
Mm-hmm. Which is garbage.
What if Apple MDF's and IKEA okay. ever paired up to build an airplane?
Why?
I can't even. You just blew my mind.
You could flat ship. They'd build it, assemble it, take it apart, and flat box ship it across the world on container ships.
And it would be controlled to be reassembled, with a little touchpad.
To be reassembled right. locally.
Fly left.
Pinching and zooming.
Oh, you said Apple. I thought you said IKEA.
No, IKEA and Apple.
Team together.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
Mirko, you are an engineer.
Yes, but I don't build any planes.
Well, you got to get started to tell us if this is going to be able to fly. Deal?
Do you build bridges by chance?
Maybe once.
Micro turbines that power... British / Indian exotic cars?
Brindian,
yes. Isn't it odd that the former master is now the slave?
You know about master-slave relations, Eric, don't you?
Yes, it's
only
an A-B
cameras.
Switch. It's an A-B switch on my hard drive.
I was talking cameras and flashes.
Mm. Hmm. So, yes, check out... Ben, where can people check out this video?
I believe they can check it out at roundaboutshow.com, where this video will be available in the show notes.
Via a link. Just click on that link. Click it on. And
hyperlink.
Exactly.
Some people get confused when you call it a link. It's a hyperlink.
Okay.
Well, is there a forward slash or a backward slash in there?
Don't confuse people, Michelle.
Oh, no. Now I'm lost.
And now, Ben, it's the moment you've all been waiting for.
Drum roll.
Are Play we going to talk about the Volt?
We'll find out in just a moment. You hear him taking off? Or trying to. He just started his engine.
That'd have been cool if he just did nothing.
That's true.
The Volt starting.
Yep, that's true.
You just
it must have like some kind of like beep noise or like
inside? Boom, boom. Nope. Really?
Nothing.
Because in the
all the lights come on.
And there's no there like
a,
startup.
There was noise? A promo. Wow. Or there was a video on CNBC with. Hold on, I got his name. The Phil
Brian
LeBeau.
Williams.
Phil LeBeau, and they did the startup thing in the Volt, and it made some kind of. Electronic noise, like it was starting up, or maybe that was just added on by the video editor to make it sound like the Enterprise or something.
Yeah, I just had the. We're talking about the Chevrolet Volt, by the way. which I drove today.
Well, we've got you later on the list, but let's just start with you. Chevy Bolt. The much hyped car from GM.
Much hyped.
Does it live up to the hype?
I think it does, Craig.
Ben is glaring at me.
You're pounding the table.
Are you saying it's all hype?
No.
It's all awesome, right? Yeah.
I think I was saying it was worth the hype. I don't know. Or magnified.
So how is the Volt?
No, it was a great car. Going back to Eric's story, you get in it. It's got the keyless fob. So you just get in it, and everything automatically works. Like, the radio is already on. It's pretty cool. There's no accessory switch. And you just press a blue button, and it does nothing.
And it's just there, and you go.
Yeah.
So I mean, you just give it the spurs, and off you go.
There's a screen in the instrument panel, and then there's a screen where the navigation screen is. And then all you have to do is fist the center stack, I think.
That sounds
classy. What it felt like.
That sounds classy.
Because the shifter was like in the center stack, so you kind of had to like put your arm in and then pull it back out.
Like an airplane throttle.
I've never flown an airplane.
Michelle, would that be like an airplane throttle?
Well, I don't think that we'd call it fisting.
Well, that's something. And Scott in Cleveland says, lol, in the chat.
But, awkward.
After all the issues they've had this week with their press.
Baloney.
I think it's bull.
Bull pucky. You can say it.
Pucky.
Thank you.
Today I put 150 plus miles on the car, or maybe 190. Almost 50 of that was pure electric. And then everything else, I think we averaged about 60 miles per gallon off of 2 gallons of gas.
Wow.
It was really fun to finally be driving this car after seeing it, 2006 as a concept vehicle?
2000 and forever ago, yeah. It seems like. But yeah, so how is the performance?
It was fun. This is a fun car to drive. It's like 4,000 pounds. But
it's a husky girl.
But it's got such a low center of gravity, and it's got instant torque like an electric car would have.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just...
goes.
It's like a compact... I wouldn't say it's like a Honda Civic Si.
Is it?
Oh. As far as fun.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't a Toyota Corolla or a Chevy Cruze. It was like...
A
power,
different...
Yeah, power was there. Even we were on the interstate today at 70... And you punch the throttle and you jump up into the 80s pretty quick. So,
yeah. Well, cool. How is the handling with the low center of gravity?
We didn't have
Family car type thing.
It's Michigan. We don't have turns in our roads.
Actually, they have some nice ones in Utica.
Oh, okay.
But Utica? They also Where? Have traffic. It's school season today. So we got to find out how it would do in commutes pretty much, since most people are going to be buying it for that. So I didn't get to test out like the fun to drive factor, but getting from point A to point B, this car was amazing.
Yeah. Quiet when you're driving it.
Super quiet. And the funny part is there's no like artificial noise like a Nissan Leaf. The only way to alert someone you're coming is flashing your brights, which alarms like a 3-horn chirp. Kind
beep,
of.
Beep.
No, it's like beep, beep, beep.
And look at me. Look at me.
Ben was waiting for that the whole show.
That's
his
exactly what it said.
Hovering over.
Wouldn't that be awesome if that's what it did?
Look at me! Look at me! I'm driving a hybrid.
But it's not a hybrid.
What is it?
It's an electric vehicle.
Did you get the ICE to kick on?
Yes.
And what's it like? Is it screaming at red line?
The first couple times it came on, we couldn't tell it was on. Because we were driving. It's got a peak RPM of 4,800. It likes to be in, I think they said, the 25 to 3,000 range. But it also varies depending on the vehicle speed.
Yeah.
But it does have a mountain mode that charges the battery while you're getting ready to go up a mountain. And if you put that on, it redlines the engine. It's pretty funny.
So it's like...
The engine's going like 5,000 RPM and you're doing like 10 miles an hour.
You feel so like your transmission slipping. Yeah. And that
was when the engine was on, because it was always the RPMs would fluctuate depending on different things that happened with the car. I don't know what that was. But you would push the gas, and the engine would accelerate at a different level as the car.
Mm-hmm.
So you would push the gas, and the engine would already be at a high RPM, and then it would go down, or you'd let off, and it would go up. Mm-hmm. It was just a weird feeling, but...
But still a very nice car. You liked
it? Cool. I would spend $350 a month to lease it.
Wow.
No, but the question from the chat room is, would it make your top 10, Jeff?
Top 10 of what?
Your top 10 list, car designs.
Eric and I were just talking about that before the show, and I mean, it's it's cool in the concept-y way, but it's still like a normal car. Like, it's not flashy. People definitely saw it today. Like,
which surprises me, because it's not, like you said, it's not a flashy vehicle. It just kind of blends in.
But we had plenty of people pulling up next to us or coming up to us. I had a cop come up to me at the airport, and
he unloading only.
Funny thing is, he parked like in the, there were four lanes at Detroit Airport. He parked in the second furthest lane away, creating like a monstrous traffic jam. Because
just parked across the lanes,
he might as well have. But while I was parking at the airport, I mean, two people alone came up to us and were asking us about the car. So it's definitely got a lot of attention, and
I think it stands out. I mean, I've seen a few, and I'm always like, oh, I mean, it could be quite a distance away on the highway. It's like, oh, that's a Volt.
Well, it's such a sleek shape. They designed the car around its aerodynamics, and I learned today that it's the second most aerodynamic car GM's ever built.
After?
The other electric vehicle, the EV1.
Well, how do you like that?
I like them apples.
Yeah. Well, Eric, you were also in a fuel-efficient vehicle.
Yeah, I still am.
Not the Raptor.
No.
You're making up for it. You stepped up your carbon footprint. Now you're ramping it down again.
I went from a truck that barely fit in the driveway. In fact, it really didn't fit in the driveway because I have pictures, which you'll be able to see on Monday on webridestv.com when the review goes up, where my driveway is seven feet wide because I measured it. And in the Raptor, the tires were hung over on both sides. Well, I went from that, and it barely fit in between the houses because I live in an old neighborhood, to a car that I could probably park sideways between the houses, which is a Ford Fiesta.
Olé!
Si.
Bueno.
The hatchback, nonetheless.
Yeah, it's the five-door.
What color did you get? They were offering a few wild options.
I have red.
It's like, I thought it was purple.
No, that's red.
Oh, I'm colorblind.
Michelle, you know about the Fiesta.
And it's a manual transmission.
Ooh, and how do you like it?
Not the MSG.
No, it's not the MSG.
Monosodium glutamate.
We were talking about that earlier in the chat.
It's a pretty good car. It handles like a go-kart. In fact, going from the Raptor to the Fiesta, the first time I took a corner in the Fiesta, it was like, whoops! little less steering input on that one. So I was, based off of what everyone else had said, I was prepared for it not to have a lot of power, but it has.
It's enough. It's adequate.
Would it be nice if it had a little more? Yes. But is it lacking? Not really. I mean, it's peppy enough for driving around,
and especially considering 40 miles per gallon up to with the DS.
I did a mileage run today when I was going out to Ann Arbor, and I got 38.6 with the cruise control set just shy of 80 miles an hour. Now therein lies one of the things that I have. I think it where it needs a 6-speed manual. 3,300 RPM or 3,400 RPM. So that seems. I would think if you got a 6-speed. You could drop it down to 2,700 RPM. Then you could probably pick up another 2 miles of the gallon
maybe
on the highway.
But I would think if a 6-speed would have done that much, they probably would have offered it. But to keep costs down,
I'm sure it was
down,
a cost issue. Yeah, considering how many manuals they'll probably sell.
Yeah.
I think it's the other way around. They don't offer a 6-speed manual, so you see this MSG whatever they call it gets better fuel economy because it has a taller top gear.
Yes, exactly.
For no other reason.
Yep.
And they make more money on that option.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
There are a few things in there that I'm not keen on. I'm not real hip on that implementation of sync. Mine is a pre... No, you don't have any of that. Mine's sort of a pre-production model, so it came with no instruction manual, so I literally spent 45 minutes trying to figure stuff out. And given that this is targeted at millennials who either can't read or choose not to read.
They're texting. They don't have time.
And
Is it on a DVD?
Yeah. They like things to be intuitive. This wasn't the most intuitive thing. Also, I plugged in my iPod, and it didn't really recognize it.
I congratulate the guy for that.
No. Did you what did you think about the central locking button in the center stack?
Well, I'm sort of used to that from some of the GM stuff of late. But
I lock the keys in the car twice on the Fiesta.
Well, the thing is that you have to hit the button about three times for it to actually unlock the doors inside from inside. So I'm still getting used to a few things, but overall, I think it's a pretty good car. It's like 18.5 for it. It's got the leather seats and stuff, and it's a pretty cool car. I like it. It's
Who put Cheverson Volt in the rundown? Anyway,
so
yeah, nice car. Mirko, you were in a duet recently. Two different vehicles, two different manufacturers,
yes.
Two different manufacturers that do not offer vehicles in the United States
yet.
What are you driving? What do you like about them? What don't you like about them?
First, I drove the Fiat 500C,
ooh,
which is the ragtop version of the Fiat 500.
This is for you, Jonathan Brown.
Yes, just for Jonathan. I think I sent a few pictures to Ben, so probably you could show a picture of it to see how it looks. It had a diesel engine with 95 horsepower,
ooh,
150 foot-pound of torque, and the engine was fine. It had more than enough power for this little car, and it even sounded good, which was surprising for a diesel.
No. No diesel ever sounds good.
It had this trumpet-like sound when you really accelerated. That's something I didn't expect from this little 1.3-liter diesel engine.
So you like the engine? Do you like the car?
There are some problems.
Uh-oh.
First, I'm not a tall guy. I have to open up my units converter for that.
So 160 centimeters.
It's a bit more. It's 175, but wait a second.
Link.
That's 5 feet and 9 inches.
Well, that's not that short.
That's standard height.
The little guy.
That's standard height.
Yes.
Ben, on the other hand, he's a 4'8". He's a little person.
I fit behind the wheel just fine, but my girlfriend, who's 2 inches taller than me, didn't get comfortable at all. And you have this van-like, very upright seating position in it. You sit higher than you would expect from such a small car. You can't really adjust the seat down enough. I didn't like that, and I didn't like the steering feel. It felt like one of those PlayStation steering wheels.
Yikes.
No feedback around the center position, so it wasn't as much fun as I thought to drive it hard corners, and that's...
So
what was the mileage on that? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yes, in test drive mode, driving hard, it was 5.2 liters per 100 kilometers. Oh. That's 45 miles per gallon. I think that's fine.
Very good. So what was the other car you were in this week, Mirko?
That was the Renault Wind, which is a small kind of convertible-like car, but it's something between the T-top and the convertible. It's based on the Renault Clio and the Twingo, something in between. It has the 100 horsepower gas engine, 1.2 liter turbo, and that one I liked it a lot better than the Fiat.
Really?
Because that one was actually good to drive. It had a perfect steering feel. Had a bit stiff suspension, 17-inch performance tires standard. And
it's a Renault.
Renault. I think Zach said Renault one older show. Yeah, that's the run. We had a white one too, and the interesting thing about it, it's rather cheap. It's 19,100 euros. That's less than a base Mini Cooper, which is 19,500 or something like that.
And does that include the tax?
Yes.
What is the German tax called?
19 VAT. VAT.
Yeah, that's no. Yeah.
Was it 19?
19%.
Yeah.
19%.
Yikes.
But everything is standard in this little car. It comes with cruise control, climate control. It comes with Bluetooth and iPod plug and those nice 17-inch black wheels. It has a rather large trunk for a convertible type car, and it has really good sport suspension, and it's quiet at 180 kilometers per hour. It has lots of leather. It has the instrument cover looks like an old iMac case. It's transparent.
Ben, you'd love
red.
The Renault Wind.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention. Could you start over?
It's a really unfortunate name, though.
The Wind?
what's that metal? What's
wind
it,
up.
The breaking?
Yeah.
Meow.
The breaking wind. Yes.
Oh.
The Renault Wind.
I got you now, buddy.
So your girlfriend wants to get one of those, you said, right, Mirko?
Yes, she really likes it. It has replaced the Focus convertible as her favorite new car. Well. So even though it's a lot smaller.
Hmm. Certainly a stylish vehicle, different looking.
Oh, okay.
Kind of weird opening quasi convertible
top.
Yeah, it has to be weird looking.
Yeah, what's the point of getting a French car if it's looking like normal?
Yeah. Well, really good.
Two things I didn't like about it.
Yeah, go on.
The stereo sucks. It has all kinds of features, but the menu structure is kind of awkward. And the speakers they put in there don't sound like anything.
Rice paper?
Yeah, probably French.
Leftover baguette paper.
Yeah.
I am beast of.
I am beast of.
But I think that's something you could change for very little money. And the other thing also has to do with sound. There's not a lot of sound from the engine which you want in that kind of car.
Nothing you can't fix with a little exhaust work.
So. And you can only open the roof and the handbrake is pulled. So you can't open it while you're on.
Safety.
But it only takes 12 seconds. So I think that's an interesting car, and some people will enjoy it.
Probably your girlfriend. So hopefully she'll get one shortly here. But that'll just about do it for In the Garage this week. And now I would like to move on to our next segment, which is Auto Gadget. Go, go, Auto Gadget. Eric, you've got our...
This script is sadly lacking in this section.
Eric's suction cup thing.
I don't know how else to describe it. It's a little treat, though.
Do we have cameras working?
We do
have
a camera.
You hand it to me.
Ben will be the hand model.
You talk
hand
about
model.
It.
He's got all those cat claw marks on the backs of his palms.
So if you've ever watched some of the either the drifting videos or just some of the car stuff on YouTube or even for some of the car reviews that you see on TV...
Your hair looks great, Ben.
Thanks. I don't use product either. Isn't that great?
You see some. You always wonder how they put the cameras in those spots, and what this is it's a mount. It's by a company called Panavice, and it's a suction cup mount that you put onto any window or a body surface of the car, and it locks down, and then it has a 1/4-20 screw on the top of it that you put in. Yep, standard screw that you put into whatever video recorder you have. Like Contours, because they've got some funky mounting system, you can get one for the Contour and stuff like that. It's $40, and it works really well because I tested it earlier today, and it held onto a car on a very bumpy road going 75.
Well, you were driving in Michigan, so.
Exactly. It's pretty cool. And these are actually used by the film industry. That's how good they are. It's for a $40 part, people are willing to, you know, people in the film industry, professional film people, are willing to put like several $1,000 cameras on the ends of these things. Mm-hmm. So they're not going to use those lightly.
Well, what's it called again, Eric?
It's Panavice is the name of the thing. And you can get those at onboard.tv. They're $40. And if you use the shipping code Duke, D-U-K-E, you can get free shipping.
Sweet.
Super cool.
Ben's already looking at how he's going to get John to – well, John's not going to pay for that.
We already have the sticky pod, which we never use.
That's true. We should
we
get
should
that
dust
out again.
That off.
But yeah, wow, this is cool.
It actually works. It works really well. So, well, you see people like the drift cars. You see them all stuck on the hoods or on the doors and stuff like that.
Now, do you think you could easily mount this on the inside of the windshield to shoot somebody like doing a review?
Yes,
that'd be cool.
Yes, you could.
I like how it's large range of motion.
Yes, it articulates in three different directions, three dimensions.
Is it more stable than the ones on the little cameras we used, Ben?
Somehow I think so.
Yeah.
I don't know how else you want to describe, but it.
No, but that's cool. And
it's a nice little kick shot.
I'm sure we'll have a link to this in the
show notes.
Roundaboutshow.com show notes.
We shall. Again, that's onboard.tv, promotion code Duke. For what was the discount, Eric?
Free shipping.
Free shipping.
That's a really unfortunate coupon code.
Why? Duke?
It's not a very nice sounding word.
Duke. What's so Duke gruff?
You talking bad about John Wayne there?
Yeah, I guess so.
The Duke.
I kind of am.
All right, Ben, you know what to do.
Autobahn Anekdote.
Geschichten aus der offenen Straße.
That's Mirko's guffaw.
That was awesome.
You've got your own special intro now, Mirko.
Fantastic.
I hope Google Translate got that right. I tried to say Tales from the Open Road, but I'm not sure.
That was actually not bad for Google Translator.
Geschichten aus so, der...
You said Tales, it actually said Ass from
I
the
would
Open
say
Road.
Von der...
What would the correct way to say it be, Mirko?
It's Geschichten von, not...
Aus ist...
Von der,
I see.
Offene Straße. It's too literal. You would say Geschichten von der... Oh, I don't know. It doesn't translate well. I have to think about it. I'll tell you how I do it next time around.
Okay, fair enough. But you have a very interesting story, something you cited probably, what was it, on your commute to work?
No, actually not. It was when we did this BMW plant tour in Leipzig, which is nearly on the other end of the country. So on the way back, we saw something on the Autobahn that wasn't like the others. and I think, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I think it's Ford Model A.
Yeah, it's hard to tell, but...
From the third picture, yes. It's a high boy.
Yeah, but what is the giveaway, Eric? I had a hard time telling.
The grill. The grill and the back body and the arches over the rear wheels.
Well, you are right because there's a gas cap on the cowl at the top. So there you go. Yeah.
There it is.
It's a rat rod.
In Germany.
This proves that if you spend some time and if you get it safe and do your homework, you can register anything here.
Thanks, Mom.
So how often do you see stuff like this, Merck? It's got to be a very, very rare sighting
really
in Germany.
Well, I suppose it depends on how close you are to an American Air Force base or American military base.
American. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not aware that there were any American bases there because it was Eastern Germany.
It's
a secret NATO base for waterboarding.
Oh, that's nice.
Maybe.
It's not terrorism. So, yeah, wow. How does the guy afford fuel with that big V8?
It's set up to run on compressed gas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe.
Potentially. But, yeah, very cool sighting. You also had another story about something happened to you when you were in Sweden recently, or at some point at least.
Oh, yes. The Swedes, they drive a lot more vintage American cars than we do. For some reason I can't understand, because I think they have even more expensive fuel. But I went to Sweden with a few friends because we are all 30 years old now, and we wanted to do a trip together. And so we were in the middle of Stockholm, drunk, and at one moment I laid down on a zebra crossing. I was a bit tired, and we were trying.
It's a good place to take a nap, right?
It's there, the railroad track.
I'm just curious, is there something that happens or something you can do in Sweden at the age of 30 that you can't do before?
No, it's the least sensible place for a drinking trip. It's expensive, but we did it anyway.
So what? Okay, so you're laying down in the road for the fun of it.
Yes,
you've been drinking heavily.
Yeah.
You are.
Then pissed. I hear this V8 rumble coming closer, and there's a guy in a, I think it was a 65 Pontiac GTO, standing in front of the zebra crossing, revving his engine. And so I get up reluctantly and leave the road, and he does a big smoky burnout right in front of me.
Awesome. Awesome story. At least he didn't run you over. Right?
Yes, that's nice. Sometimes the Swedes have their nice moments.
Occasionally. That's funny. Well, very entertaining Autobahn anecdotes, Mirko. That's classic, and we're glad you can be our European, Central European correspondent for Roundabout. We appreciate that. But moving right along, Ben, it is time for the moment we have all been waiting for.
Oh, good.
The Price is Correct.
Here it comes!
Internet's
most exciting
podcast game.
The fantastic prizes! The fabulous
10-minute-ish
prize is
correct. Insert contestant name here.
Come on down!
So this week we have a very special themed edition of The Price is Correct. And Jefferson, why don't you explain a little bit what we're doing here?
Well,
he's going through puberty.
Well, we decided to go with a special theme this week, as Craig alluded to, with an A, not an E. We did the cars. I picked four cars that Jonathan Brown would not drive.
Dun, dun, dun.
It's like the plummeting guy. He doesn't want to plummet over the hill on The Price is Correct.
Oh, Plinko.
In real... Yeah, no.
No, it's the one with the miners.
The climber.
Alpine. Yeah. Oh, whatever it is.
He doesn't want to fall. Jonathan Brown doesn't want to drive these cars.
So what have we got first? Let's see.
First up is a 2001 BMW Z3.
Who would drive such a shitty car?
Who would drive this?
Michelle, let's start. Let's go around the table now and guess our prices.
Wait,
Michelle,
wait, is this a convertible or a coupe?
It's the convertible. It looks pretty good. It's still, you know, a BMW Z3, so can't really do much to help that. But it's in pretty good shape. So, Michelle, would you like to take a gander?
A gander?
A guesstimate.
It's not that rare. I mean, the convertibles, there were a lot more convertibles, but it is more powerful than mine. My 99 coupe is a 2.8. This is the 3.0. So I would say I've got a little more zip than mine.
A number, Michelle.
Okay, I'm gonna go with 11,000.
How much? 11,000?
Yeah.
How about you, Craigster?
God, it's not some. I would have to peg it somewhere between. I wouldn't pay more than a couple grand for it, not frankly. But
that's about my sentiments exactly.
3,500 to, but not that. No, it's going to be more than. I'd say 8 grand.
How about you, Marco?
How many miles? 3,500?
No, it's got 101,000 miles on it. It's an old car.
Oh.
It's a 2001.
That's not worth 8 grand. That's maybe 6, 7 grand maybe.
All right, we'll go 7.
I'm going low.
How about you, Eric?
I can't decide if I want to go higher, $1 higher or $1 lower than Michelle.
Well, he knows I look at these things all the time.
I'll go $1 lower and say $10,999.
And that would be $5 off because it's $10,994.
Oh.
So.
Shaw.
How'd you do that, Eric?
I guess Craig wins because they went over.
Congratulations.
I won for once.
You've won a free audiobook. Go to audiblepodcast.com/roundaboutshow to claim your prize.
I will.
And okay. I chose that one because I saw that Jonathan enjoys Corvettes, and I would hope any self-appreciating Corvette man would not drive a BMW. Up next is... the complete opposite.
Sugar Mount. All right.
Stop it, guys.
All right, what's next, Jeff?
We have a rare. Read that rare.
Medium
1994
rare.
1994 Geo Metro XFI.
That's the three-cylinder version, right?
Yes, it is.
Extra fuel... efficiency.
This car has 102,000 miles on it.
Okay. Body is straight. Looks straight.
It's pretty good.
So does the winner go first?
Winner goes first. Why not?
I wouldn't. $1. Nobody's even bet yet. $1 is all I would pay. There you go.
Eric?
Well, 2 years ago when gas was $4 a gallon, this car would have sold for about $5,000 and did. But I will say $1,600.
It's too much.
Michelle.
Yeah, they were selling between like $5,000 and $8,000 at one point.
What?
And then they were fuel efficient.
They
so
like
I'm gonna
60 miles to the gallon.
This one gets 58 miles per gallon, according to this guy in Los Angeles.
Bullpucky.
Who's smoking something.
That's crazy. I'm gonna say $2,999.99.
That's a lot of cents.
99 of them.
And how about you, Marco? For a crappy
900.
900. Well, this guy still thinks it's 2008 because he wants $4,000 for his car.
Bullpucky.
No. The price is incorrect, bitch.
This man's a husker.
Oh, my God, it's here.
he's a husker, all right.
Huckster. Was he shucking corn in the back room?
Something like that.
Confidence trickster.
He's in your backyard there, Michelle.
Yeah.
And she probably saw it on the side of the road with the window sticker. That's why she was so close.
All right, we'll go with one more. Pick green or red.
Red.
All right, another car that Jonathan Brown would not drive, a 2000 Honda Insight.
I actually saw one of those yesterday.
No, the original, by the way. This is a 2000 model. But it's only got 50,000 miles on it.
No. I'll pass. So, did Naranjo get that one first? I think she did.
Oh, wait a second.
Get what one? On
we'll make one up.
All right, Michelle, go. What do you think a original sleek Honda Insight would go for?
They're actually quite collectible because because the tuners like to put engines in them because they're so aerodynamic. They like to race them. So I know at one point there were online battles of auctions of people bidding up to like 20,000 for these things. So I'm going to say 11,000.
All right. How about you, Craigster?
Some knucklehead would pay that much, so I'm going to guess 8,000 again.
This is in San Francisco, by the way, so that adds the
Douchebag tax.
Yes.
You know that South Park?
All right, Mirko, what do you think a hybrid electric Honda Insight would be?
Is it a manual?
All yes. These details.
Yes.
No, Trev went.
And Eric.
Hey, hold on, I gotta see what people.
11, 8, and 5. 11, 8. Just continue the trend and go like.
3.
2. That would be the trend.
No.
Minus 3.
11, 8, 5. I'll go 12, 5.
Well, Michelle wins because it's $11,000 even.
You've just won a custom car bra for your Ford Fiesta, or as Jonathan Brown would say, Fiesta. Good thing it's a B cup. I mean B car. VA room. VA room. Beep. Beep. Get out of my way, JB's coming through.
He's coming through.
All right, and the last car, of course, is Eric's favorite. It's a 1972 Chevrolet Impala. But wait.
There's more.
It's a donk. What does that mean?
A what?
A what?
What?
This car.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a 72 Impala convertible. It's painted spearmint green. And it's rolling on 28s, y'all. What?
Oh,
speaking of which, I learned a new gang sign.
Oh, great.
Hold it up to the microphone so we can all see.
EV, y'all! I spent too many time around the crazies.
First gear. What's the song go, Ben?
But
the Volt song.
I don't know how that goes.
Did they sing that for you, Jeff?
No, they actually made fun of themselves for making it. This Impala has too much to list. So Jonathan Brown wouldn't buy it because it looks like crapola. So, Eric, what do you think this car is worth?
Does it have a stereo system in it?
Did you see the picture of the trunk?
Like some bumping? No, I didn't. It's got like some.
Look at this last picture.
It's even got
Those are wheels.
No, they're not.
It's a little picture. It's got four speakers and what appears to be an amp and an Impala line on the trunk lid.
I see this now.
It's custom, people.
$20,000.
Is it mirrored?
It looks like it's mirrored. What'd you say, Eric?
$20,000.
$500? Okay. All right, what do you think, Marco? Do you guys have awesome cars like this?
We don't have donks.
You guys put 28s on anything other than semi-trucks.
They roll on 12s over there.
Maybe
everything
not
small.
Even on them. So I think the kind of person who makes his car look that way probably wants a lot of money for it because he paid probably a lot for the paint job and for the ridiculous chrome wheels, and so he will probably want $28,000 for it.
28? What do you think?
Which nobody will pay.
Someone will. Someone out there is stupid enough to do anything. I once saw a guy put 77 chickens in a car.
Chickens? I thought
or
they were cats.
No, there was a woman who put cats in her car. This was a guy who put chickens in his car.
Oh, Zach Bowman?
No.
Oh. Then he blew up the courthouse.
All right, Craig, what do you think?
15,579.
Would you drive this?
No. I don't. I'm against the spearmint color.
And Michelle? Would you roll on this in the Compton crib hood?
I would. I think it's got to be a little higher than what Kirby said. So I'm going to go with 16.
Okay. Well, this guy doesn't want $10,000 cash. He doesn't want your trades. He wants $20,000, which is exactly what Eric said.
Wow. Good job. You're going to love your new Corvette ZR1 with a state-of-the-art CVT transmission. Yum. There's more slush there than a 7-Eleven in winter.
The Department of the Redundancy Bureau called, Ben. They're trying to get a hold of you
for
CVT transmission. I'm sorry.
And no, I didn't cheat on that. I literally just grabbed a number out of the air to...
Out of the air is more a friendlier way of saying it.
Literally.
I know.
Wait, Jeff, can you read the description for us, please?
Oh, I just erased it.
I got it.
Go.
Is it three? Answer.
Up for sale is my 72 Chevy Impala. Too much to list. Asking 20,000 OBO. No trade. Serious questions only.
Don't next call line? Me telling me about your super fast Civic for trade. I don't care. Nor about money you're going to be getting.
You get,
don't 10 grand in cash and I had I don't care fist stupid question get hung up on.
Well, I love Craigslist. I love it for this.
And they even took the adult answer.
It makes me feel so smart.
Oh, God. Well, another great conclusion to another fantastic episode of The Price is Correct and of Roundabout. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
It should be a breeze for you to edit this week for a change.
Actually, I think it will be.
Yeah.
It wasn't horrible.
Horrible. The good thing the Fiesta is a B car, right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
Who said
just,
that?
I just freaked Craig out a little bit.
James Patterson's in the room.
The minister? Is that who that is?
I don't know who that is. It sounds like a cool name. A guy that would have that voice.
He wrote a book, so I don't think you'd ever know.
Well,
I don't read books.
Oh, y'all can go to hell. I don't read books. Gun shoes. Jefferson Ross, all the way up in Michigan from the Dangle State.
I walked uphill all the way to get here.
Well, North is at the top.
It surely is.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you for taking the time. You changed your travel plans with the General Motors so you could come to the studio here tonight.
I sure did.
Thank you.
That's what I do.
It's what you do best. And about a year after his first live studio appearance, so we appreciate
it. And no Canadians. Even better.
He doesn't pull any punches, folks. So, what are you working on, Jeff, at the Autotropolis?
Well, I'll be putting together the vault pretty soon.
Mirror Dart says, hey! He's a Canadian.
Oh.
Hey?
I'm going to a truck rodeo this week in Texas. Oh, next week in Texas. And,
woo-hoo!
That's about it for excitement. Meow.
Meow. Well, very good. Check that out on autotropolis.com.
That's a forward dot.
Extra confused people.
So, a comma?
Joey Naranjo, the yeah. Magic behind the Autotropolis.
Yeah, I let an article sneak past me yesterday where I didn't fact check some race car driver's name in Jeff's article.
Hey, what's over there? Look. There's a shiny light on the wall. Look at it.
But it's an audio podcast. You better describe it for the listeners.
It's a red laser dot, Michelle.
Laser.
I know. It was my fault.
Usually is.
It was my fault. My bad. My bad.
What else are you working on, Michelle?
Open line.
What?
What is this open line?
That call-in program nobody listens to, right, Ben? No, what is open line for those that aren't in the know?
It is a call-in show, party style, party chat line style, where people call in and talk about cars for 5 or 6 hours. And this last week we had Chris
Cruz
on Star On, and everybody behaved and used their inside voices. And so,
five or 6 hours. I don't have that much time.
This week, I actually once we were done with
you're
Chris
supposed
Cruz,
to say you don't have to stay for 5 or 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't have to stay for 5 or 6 hours, Craig. Like, oftentimes when you or Jeff or Eric or Ben call into the show, you come in and you participate for a while, and then you can leave when you feel like it.
First
you can just
you are
jump in and out.
First you are in, and then you are out.
Right. You and Mirko's called in a few times.
Yes, but not recently.
It is quite late. For Mirko.
No, it's quite early, actually.
Quite early, exactly. Yeah, true.
I'm just going to close your laptop. That's enough. Eric Tritko, rumblestrip.net. Also, the Web Rides TV. What's going on in your world? I suspect, now I'm only guessing, but I think you're going to have a Fiesta review in the future.
I will have a Raptor review up on Monday. I've got the first draft done and going through and editing it.
Yeah.
And editing pictures for it. Yes, the Fiesta will probably be up towards the end of next week. And probably calling my last drag race this weekend.
So the seasonal.
The season. Well, there's theoretically one the first weekend in November, but given what the weather is in Michigan the first weekend of November, I'm not counting on it. So.
Oh, very good,
and
Eric.
You can also
Thank
find
you.
Me on the Twitters at twitter.com/rumblestrip.
Very good.
What are these seasons you speak of?
You just have sweat in your balls off. That's it.
They go that, and then they go to like 40 and rain.
We have hot and hurricane in Florida.
Great. Mirko Reinhardt.
Yes, I'm still there.
From Bad Oldesloe.
Exactly.
Yay!
That's what it's called.
I did good. Ding, ding, ding. What are you working on? Anything exciting? Water filtration systems or engineering?
Yeah,
bridges?
Very exciting water filtration systems and forward osmosis modules to make energy to run probably your Chevy Volt. So lots of interesting stuff.
It's going to be your Opel Antara soon. Amptera.
Ampera,
that's it.
They need the volt, the amp, and the ohm. It's a little electric joke.
And what will they call it when they make a Vauxhall out of it?
So where can the people find you, Mirko?
I hope they can find me on the Autobot blog again as soon as I write my Fiat 500 review and Renault Wind review, which is only half done now, so it should be out next week.
We'll get to it.
Don't we both have articles coming out on another publication, Mirko?
Yes, I do. It's called The Other Publication is a publication that also has two writers from a place called Roswell, I heard.
Oh dear, is this that Tic Tac site?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got the Teabag Awards and I don't know, what's the other one called?
Teabag Awards?
They have two awards. The one is the TWAT Award.
Well, there we go.
Spelling doesn't get a beep.
And the other one is called TBAG, 10 Best Automobiles Going.
Oh, that's funny. And what is the website?
It's thetruthaboutcars.com.
Is that safe for work?
The lies about GM.com, is that what you just called?
Exactly.
Well, when can we expect to find these articles floating around out there on the cyberweb, Mirko?
As soon as I finally complete my work on them.
Okay.
As soon as I can find enough time, which is probably never.
Well, you're so busy doing podcasts, you're on the Roundabout Show right now, so that's
exactly.
It's getting late. Or early. So.
I'm working on most weekdays. So that interferes with the rest of my life quite severely.
Well, Mirko, thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying up so late, being a trooper.
What time is it there?
2:30.
Good Lord.
Get some sleep. Get some sleep. So let's wrap this
thing. I'll try to do that.
You can fall to bed now. So we'll wrap this thing up. Ben Sanders.
What about Michelle?
Producer. We did Shelley.
We did me.
No.
He's just so used to Craig
forgetting
skipping
about
over
me.
People.
And I did not forget you guys last week, FYI. You guys started talking, and that was your intro. So there.
You talk, that's it.
They were yammering away, these couple of birds, chatty birdkin people up there just talking the whole way around there. But Ben Sanders, just had a stroke. Ben Sanders, thanks for getting this show done and edited. Thank you for your efforts on the weekend. We all
thanks,
appreciate
ben.
It.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome.
Who is that? All right. Of course, our website, roundaboutshow.com. You can swing by there, check out all kinds of fun stuff throughout the week, including links and show notes, links to all of the articles we presented you today. Leave us a voicemail on our Google Voice number. It's 1-559-ROAB-411. In non-letter numbers, that is 1-559-762-2411. Leave us a voicemail. We'll check it eventually. We'll get you on the show. We'll answer your questions, whatever. We're doing the Twitter thing, twitter.com/roundaboutshow. We're also on Facebook, thanks to Jeff Ross, who set up that page. Facebook.com/ roundabout show. If you never want to miss an action-packed episode, and frankly, who doesn't? The show is so good. Subscribe. We're on iTunes and the Zune Marketplace. And with that, thanks to all of you out there listening, and I invite you to please join us again next week as we circle the roundabout. We'll talk to you then. And we're done.
Beautiful show, gentlemen. Beautiful.
Golf clap. Eric clap. Eric Clapton. Ding, ding, ding. Culture reference right there. Culture.
Wow.
That's right, Craig.
What?
I just tried to make this computer suck less by removing Windows XP.
That's funny. Yeah.
He bad-mouthed Windows.
Mark it. That's a keeper.
Everybody loves when you guys sing. When are you guys going to do another duet?
Exactly.
I get a lot of people telling me that was awesome.
Luke, the only time I will sing is if I'm about 14 beers into the night. And
that's enough. You can sort of...
Ready, Craig? Gotta get real sad. Here we go. Come on, Craig. Go. Is this yours?
Look into my eyes.
You will see
what you mean to me. And I'm done. Unplugging the mic.
Screw.
Luke's getting all teary-eyed.
Holy modulation, Batman.